This is the Outdoor Journey Show, where life takes you outdoors. The Outdoor Journey Show with Matt Gatiss and Ty Morgan, brought to you by Journey Hunts and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Journey Show. Matt Gatiss and Ty Morgan here with you. We're talking about high altitude, training, hunting, planning, and certainly having an expert on board that has trekked, what was it,
21,247.
Yeah, that's a, so I think he knows a thing or two. Mark does for sure. So
my first encounter with a high altitude hunt, I mean, I've done a lot of day hunts at high altitude, but my first real encounter was a goat hunt that I did 3 years ago. I actually asked Mark to come in with me. My son, two other individuals were going in with us. We were going to go from 7,500 in Silverton all the way up to camp at about 11,000 feet and then hunt that 11 to 14,000 feet. And we actually ran into a situation with my son, Takoa. He had never had altitude sick. Well, one other time he had had altitude sickness just actually on a scouting trip. And we were going up and he got sick. And I was really thankful to have Mark with us. Mark actually left the hunt, took Takoa to lower altitude and took him out actually because it was pretty severe headache. So it's important that you know the warning signs and what to do if this stuff hits. And that's definitely an area, Mark, that you have an expertise in.
Precisely, Matt. And, you know, with that particular hunt, Takoa, when he was having his problems, what I look for is a really spunky kid is not going to be dragging his feet on the trail. He's not going to be complaining about a headache and things like that. So a couple of the symptoms for high altitude sickness are those very things. The initial thing is going to be a headache. You're going to want to hydrate, stop, rest. If a headache doesn't go away, you can take some ibuprofen for the swelling that takes place. If that doesn't do the trick, then the first thing that you have to do is get them back down. That's the simplest thing. It's the easiest thing, and it's the most effective thing. Also, make sure that they're well-fed. They get good nutrition bars and things like that with them. That's really important stuff.
Well, you know, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I know that we're talking high altitude, but you just recently, I mean, just literally a couple weeks ago, got back from Nepal, less than a couple weeks ago,
Nepal. It's a week today, actually.
And you lead an organization out of Mesa, Colorado, called Beyond the Giant. Tell us about what really just went on and what you're doing over there and the fact that you were there during this tragic earthquake that just took place.
Thanks, Matt. With Beyond the Giant, we go to Nepal and we work with leadership training and we do various other things. We have an orphanage that we provide care for, as well as the safe house for the exploited women recovery program. And so I took a team of leaders from America and we're going to do leadership trainings over on the western side. It was basically a nationwide sweep and a tour, a little bit of a visioning thing. And we had gotten into Kathmandu on the 23rd of April and had one day that we could just kind of get our feet under us, get past the jet lag. And we got into the van and we're driving out of town. We were about 7 hours out of town at that point and had stopped by a roadside cafe. And at that point, we felt a tremor. And I was a little oblivious to it at first. I thought, okay, things are shaking, no big deal. And I'm seeing people running out of the building. I'm thinking, well, maybe I ought to take this more seriously. So I jumped up and followed suit. And next thing I noticed, man, there's boulders that are coming down off the hillside onto the road. And I thought, wow, this is a little tremor. I've never been in a tremor before. Well, it didn't dawn on any of us at that point in time that it could have been a much worse thing than just a minor tremor where we were. I mean, Nepal is known for its tremors and earthquake situations anyway. They are in a zone one earthquake condition over there. So to have a little tremor like that is pretty common. But we suddenly got a phone call, realized that the damage in Kathmandu was becoming worse. We lost communication for a little while. We had driven about 45 minutes more waiting on some of the details. And then we found out that there were hundreds of people who had died in buildings that were destroyed. And so we spun our van around and drove for another 9 hours back. We were stuck in traffic for a couple of hours because of landslides that had covered the highway and so on. They got those cleared. We were able to get back into town. And just as we crested the hill and were coming down into the Kathmandu Valley, it was very apparent the effects of that earthquake. I mean, buildings were down on either side of us. People were standing out in the street. Emergency vehicles were going everywhere. And we couldn't even get a line for our cell phones. I mean, the circuits were all busy.
So at that point, obviously, your mission and purpose changed rapidly.
It really did.
So yeah. What happened? I mean,
well, we got back into town, and the American leader that was there on the ground that we were going there to support, he basically said, "Look, I got to get home. I got to take care of my family." I said, "No problem. I'll take care of the team. Let's get you taken care of." So we ended up going back to our guest house. Now they wouldn't allow us back in the building, and as an architect, I have a background and training from the military doing damage assessment, and I immediately noticed cracks and things like that. And so they wouldn't allow us back into the building, and we were basically homeless. We were living on the street, and we were given the name of one other guest house, which we were thankful that we could just walk a couple blocks down the street. They said, yes, we have room. However, we're seeing damage in our building. We're not sure what's going to take place. So what we're doing is, for the safety of our guests, we're going to have everybody camp out in this park. And it's basically what had happened is, right across the street, a 6-foot brick wall had completely fallen down and opened up to I think it was a Catholic school. It was a big grassy field area. And there were well over 100 people that were already camped in there. So we just made our bed with them for the next couple of nights out there. And our mission changed pretty abruptly from leadership training to encouraging people, praying for people, trying to strengthen people in their fears and help them to understand precisely what was going on from a spiritual standpoint. And then we ended up getting connected with the relief efforts over there. And so we had some fundraising that had come in from the States, and we were able to distribute that. It was within 48 hours of the quake that we had food relief efforts that were taking place that we were able to give to, and saw these reports that were coming in from the villages around that area and the devastation that had taken place, thousands of families that had lost family members, homes that were destroyed. And so we immediately sprung into action. I was eventually connected with the Baptist Global Response Group, and they had their advanced team coming in, their area leaders. And so I was introduced to them. They were they indicated that they had a need for my skill set as an architect to do damage assessment. And so from that point forward, I ended up working with that team, both in terms of relief assessment and as well as damage assessment.
Yeah, and this has been, I know all of our listeners have been watching this from afar. The damage has been incredible. In fact, just this morning, a friend of mine in Nepal told me that there was another severe tremor. It's actually the lady who runs the orphanage that Beyond the Giant supports. Difficult times, for sure. And there's an ongoing need for relief, for help, for financial support. And so, Mark, if people want to join in and help and know that their money is going to the right places, because your organization, nobody gets paid a salary.
No, we're
so
all
the
volunteer
money
staff.
Goes.
That's
so,
right. Every penny that comes in for the designated purpose goes right out for that designated purpose.
So tell us how they can contribute and what they can do to help, because this is a long-term need.
It really is. We're looking at well over a year's worth of continued work that's going on here. So Beyond the Giant, you can go to our website, www.beyondthegiant.org. There's a donation button there. You can donate, indicate what the donation is for in the website field, and that money will go straight out to the field for those purposes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for doing what you do, and it's an amazing trip, and thank you for the advice on the altitude training as well. So,
my pleasure.
This has been the Outdoor Journey Show, where life takes you outdoors.
This is the Outdoor Journey Show, where life takes you outdoors.